You're listening to Inland Edition. I'm Lillian Vasquez. If you knew about smartphone technology that could alert you if you were exposed to the coronavirus, would you use it? Well, right now, students and others connected to the University of California system are testing this technology. So today, we've invited Dr. Denise Woods on the program to share what she knows about it, how the testing is going, and when it might become available. Dr. Woods is Assistant Vice Chancellor of Health, Counseling, and Wellness at UCR. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, the UC system has a pilot program to test exposure to COVID-19 by using a smartphone. Where and how did this project begin?
So, this project started, it's a Google, Apple project initially, and they approached a couple of our sister UC campuses. And because we all are family in the UC, more of the campuses joined in. So a majority of our UC campuses are partnering in this. And really, it's just a pilot that we opted into here at UCR because we want to help fight the pandemic. We really care about the safety of our students, of our staff, our faculty, and in turn, you know, our community. And so the whole UCR community on and near campus, we still have workers that are on campus, dining services, on-campus residents, faculty teaching on campus, those who regularly come on a campus, even if they're not here every day. So we have a large footprint within the Riverside community, and we want to do our part. And we really want to make sure that we're doing what we can to stay a step ahead and really being proactive.
Sure.
And so one of the ways is just using technology to really help us fight this pandemic and get back to our normal lives. I know everybody is ready to do that. So this technology, we're hoping will help move that process forward.
Okay, so talking about how it began, you said there was a couple of schools that were working on it first. Where did the idea come from, or why was it those two universities that were working on it, and where did the funding come from?
So this is an effort. It wasn't necessarily something that was started in the UC. This was a project that, again, was started with Apple and Google. And then they reached out. They had relationships or have relationships with a couple of our campuses. I believe UC San Diego is one of them. And the other school, I can't remember that. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember it right now. But they reached out to a couple of the campuses. And then from there, those campuses reached out to other UCs to find out if we too wanted to participate in the pilot. So it's no funding that is being provided on the part of the UCs. This is something that was already being integrated within the phone systems for both Apple and Google. And they talked and they said, let's try to roll this pilot out to some of our constituents before we make it broad and public for everyone.
Got it. Okay, so they were doing this, and then more of the universities came into it. And what part did each of the universities play, or are you all doing the same thing?
We're all doing the same thing. So the two initial UC campuses that really kicked this off or, you know, were bought in early reached out to all of us, all the other UC campuses, to have the conversation of, hey, is this something you all want to be a part of? And a lot of the legwork had already been put in because they were a part of that initial conversation. So we are benefiting from, you know, some of the work that our other UC sister campuses are doing. And we're just jumping on board to be a part of it. It's really exciting. And we just wanted to make sure that, again, within our community, the Inland Empire Riverside, we wanted to make sure that we could also have access to this technology early and do what we can. We just thought it was a really great opportunity for us to start connecting and making those connections between, you know, students and faculty and staff who may have had some exposure, and being able to give them that information early so that they can make, you know, wise decisions about, you know, going out into the public once they know if they've been exposed or not.
All right. Well, let's break it down. How does it work?
Yeah. So really, this is it uses this Google Apple exposure notification. It's a technology on the smartphones. It's through Bluetooth, so nothing's being tracked. It's safe and private. The technology does not disclose the name or location or anything like that. But pretty much, if two people are in close proximity of each other for more than 15 minutes or more, their Bluetooth talk to each other. Hmm. And so if a person then comes back as being positive or reports as being positive, then the person who was in contact with them or the people that were in contact with them for 15 minutes or more based on that Bluetooth connection would be notified. And they would be told, hey, you were in contact with someone who, you know, has tested positive for COVID. And then it links the person with more information, more clinical resources in their area, answers questions. And so it's just a way, again, of giving early alerts to people. So this can be communication between Bluetooth. If someone is traveling on an airplane or standing in line at the grocery store or even inside a shared space like a classroom or a residence hall, the person gets the notification and then they're able to make, again, wise decisions based off of whether or not, you know, they've had that exposure, and they can then go into quarantine or isolation, stay home from work, go get tested. And so all of that information is at their fingertips at that point.
Let me reintroduce our guest is Dr. Denise Woods. She is UCR's Assistant Vice Chancellor of Health Counseling and Wellness. Okay, so let me make sure I understand this. So what it is, if two people are in the same room and they both have their smartphones, their Bluetooth connects. Later, yes, maybe a couple of days later, one of those persons realizes they have COVID, then what's going to trigger the phone to tell that other person that was in the room that somebody around them has been diagnosed with COVID?
So let me take one step back. So a person opts into this notification, and so the user's phone broadcasts this random ID number to other phones in the area. So when the phone comes within 6 feet of another, they log each other's ID, this random ID number. Hmm. It's out without names or locations or anything like that. And then a person who is diagnosed with COVID-19, they can voluntarily enter their key code indicating the positive results. And then this approach will then generate an anonymous alert to other users based on the proximity and length of exposure.
Okay, so then both people that were participating have to log in or have to have the app on their phone?
So it's a notification. It's not necessarily an app.
Okay.
So it's basically, for the iPhone users, you have to update your phone to the 14.2 version and then go to the California COVID Notify, and then they turn on their exposure notification. And so once the setting is in place, it'll turn on the Bluetooth, and then it'll automatically generate that key code and speak to others that are also opting into that. So for the Android, it's just the COVID Notify that is found on the app Google Play. So for Android users, it's more of an app. And so you have to download that and make sure you turn on your Bluetooth. And then both of those folks have opted in. So now whenever they're around someone who has also opted in, that's why it's so important. We're trying to get the message out for people to go ahead and opt into this so that when there is an exposure, those two Bluetooth connect, right? They've already shared that code. And then if a person then comes back as positive, they would put that into the notification app and say, hey, I've tested positive. And then anyone who has been in within 6 feet of that person for 15 minutes or longer would then get this anonymous alert and say, hey, you might have been in contact with someone, or you were in contact with someone who has just reported as testing positive for COVID.
Everybody who's going to be notified or is a part of it must opt in to be a part of this, right? That's the only way that it's going to measure everybody.
Yes. Okay. And again, that's why we're really trying to push the message so that more people will opt in. At least here at UCR, we're trying to get all of our faculty, all of our students to participate in this. I believe that there is going to be a statewide launch of this before the end of the year where it will be open to the public. And so we're just doing the pilot now to work out tweaks, see how things work. How can we, what have we learned from marketing and getting this message out to folks? How can we make it clear? What are some of the concerns why people would not opt in? And that's why I want to emphasize the part about the privacy, that this is completely safe and private. The technology does not disclose, you know, name or location or any other personal information. It's really just the Bluetooth of two phones speaking to each other that get a random key code, a random number assignment, so that if the person eventually reports being positive for COVID, they would just go into their notification settings, let say, you know, click yes, or yes, I've been diagnosed with COVID. And then that random anonymous alert will go out to all the Bluetooth that were in that area to let them know that they had been exposed to someone who did test positive.
I'm Lillian Vasquez, and you're listening to Inland Edition on KVCR. My guest is Dr. Denise Woods, and the focus of our show today is smartphone technology designed to slow the spread of the coronavirus by alerting users when they may have been exposed to a COVID-positive person. California's UC system is testing it now. More on California COVID Notify after this break. You're listening to Inland Edition. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Today's show is focused on new technology we could soon have on our smartphones to alert us when we may have been exposed to someone with COVID-19. My guest is Dr. Denise Woods. She is UCR's Assistant Vice Chancellor of Health Counseling and Wellness. Dr. Woods, would this new technology also be like an automatic tracer?
We wouldn't say tracer because it's not tracking folks' personal information.
Okay.
But there's no information that's stored within this notification app or, you know, this notification setting. It's strictly, have you been in the same area and you have this exposure period that it's really looking at. Where have you been where you've been less than 6 feet apart? And you've been there for 15 minutes or more next to the same Bluetooth connection, and that's the folks that they would reach out to.
Okay, and by tracer, I meant COVID-related tracing so that it's not going through phone calls. It is kind of an automatic tracer, and I'm not talking about privacy. I'm not talking about any of that, but just as it relates to COVID-19, it is kind of an automatic tracer so that the actual tracing doesn't have to be done. This is doing it kind of Bluetooth style.
Yeah, and I mean, and you're right. I mean, I think that this is a way to help supplement the contact tracing that will need to take place when a person tests positive.
Right. Okay.
So you'll hear in a lot of other countries and throughout the United States that we are trying to deploy armies, if you will, of contact tracers. But it takes a lot of time to do the contact tracing per person. You're
exactly
looking at 6 to 8 hours.
Right.
Yeah, 6 to 8 hours, right? So this is a way where potentially we can cut down on some of that to supplement and help our contact tracers to get in contact with folks that have been exposed.
Okay. So what results did we see? I'm sure they've tested this, and there were probably volunteers that have kind of opted in. Or has that existed, and do we have results on how that went?
As far as I know, we're really the ones that are kicking this off. We're trying to do the pilot before it launches statewide. I believe there's been some rollout of this on the East Coast and maybe some in the Midwest. But here in California, we're kind of taking, as far as I know, kind of the first shot at this. And so we're going to be monitoring it very closely. We just started this week. And so rolling out yesterday was really our official launch. So we'll be looking, taking a close look over the next few weeks leading into more of the flu season, leading more into colder, you know, weather. And so we'll be taking a look at the numbers. I think the important thing for us right now is really getting the message out and encouraging people to go ahead and opt into this. Because the only way we're really going to be able to see how it works is if we have a good number of folks that are signing up. And so we're really pushing this with our student population, our faculty staff population, Even folks that are not coming on a campus every day, if they're within the state or, you know, even beyond, going ahead and logging in and opting into this so that we can start making sure that we're connecting folks and connecting people to the resources they need, but then also being very proactive so that when there is a positive COVID case that is reported, we're able to follow up with folks appropriately.
Our guest is Dr. Denise Woods. She is UCR's Assistant Vice Chancellor of Health Counseling and Wellness. And we're talking about, now you said it's an app for the Androids, but it's just an option in for the Apple community. What can you say or tell me a little bit about the results did you see with the first set of volunteers and who were they?
So two of our campuses, and I remember them both now, UC San Diego and UCSF.
Okay.
In their pilot, they had about 20,000 students that opted in, or 20,000 campus community folks that opted in, which is actually really good considering the limited number of people that are on campuses right now. Optimally, you want to have between 20% and 30% of the campus community opt in. So the 20,000 between those two campuses was seen as really good. And so what we're trying to do here at UCR is get the message out so that we can have that same participation level, at least the 20% to 30%. Of course, we'd hope for more, but also understanding that we do have a limited number of folks that are on campus right now that are coming into campus on a regular basis or just here and there. The pilot was successful in that even with the limited numbers, they still had a pretty high participation rate of those folks that are either opting in if you're an Android user or if getting that notification, that feature, if you're an iPhone user.
If listeners are interested in adding the app to their phone or opting in, how can they acquire it?
So if you're an Android user, you can go to the Google Play and you can download the California COVID Notify app. And then you just make sure you opt into that, and then you just turn on your Bluetooth. It's as simple as that. And then if you're an iPhone user, you need to update your phone to the version 14.2 to activate that exposure notification. You just need to go to your settings, and once you're in settings, you just scroll down to the exposure notification and turn it on, and then you turn on your Bluetooth. So that's how you get it. If you want more information just on our project and kind of how we're rolling it out specific to UCR and the UCR community, you can go to our UCR website, which is just campusreturn.ucr.edu. And there's a lot of information on there, but there is a page specific to it, and it's just California COVID Notify. So there's information on there. There's an informational video that it's about 40 seconds, and in a nutshell, just tells you what this project is, what this pilot is, and how you can get involved in any other information and questions hopefully can be answered there.
I'm a visual learner, and this is a lot of details and auditory information, but the visual, where is that visual where we can actually see how it's being spelled out so it spells it out a little better for us visual learners?
Yeah, of course. So the easiest way to go about that is just for participants or those interested to go to our UCR website. And again, that's just campusreturn.ucr.edu. And then specific to this project, it's the same start campusreturn.ucr.edu/California-COVID-notify. And if you go there, there's the video, the 40-second video that really encapsulates everything about the project and what we're trying to accomplish, how you can get involved, how an Android or an iPhone user can download or get that feature to their phone. So there's a lot of great information there.
So I'm going to see if maybe we can get that video and put it directly on our website, because that's a lot of details when people are driving around in their car and to take down. I'd love to see if we could put that on our website so at the end of the show, it would be there for them.
Yeah, we can certainly do that. Yes.
Perfect. Then that's what we'll do. Dr. Denise Woods is UCR's Assistant Vice Chancellor of Health Counseling and Wellness. Thank you so much for explaining this. I hope it's successful and that it helps the tracking of COVID in our region.
Thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. This is really critical information to really stop the spread of COVID. So appreciate having the opportunity to share it with you and your audience.
As Dr. Woods explained, California COVID Notify is being tested in the University of California system and is designed to alert you on your smartphone if you are exposed to someone who finds out they are COVID positive. There are plans to implement it, and we hope that it can help slow the spread of the coronavirus in California and elsewhere. Once California COVID Notify becomes available to the general public, you should be able to use it on your Android or iPhone. You'll find this episode with links to more information at our website. Just visit kvcrnews.org/inlandedition. Join us again next week for Inland Edition. We'll talk to Jennifer O'Farrell of Big Brothers Big Sisters and learn about their efforts to continue serving their young clients during this pandemic. That's Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 6:30, right here on KVCR. To hear this episode and past shows, visit kvcrnews.org/inlandedition. You can also listen to Inland Edition on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Search for Inland Edition on your streaming service. Inland Edition is a production of KVCR News. Support for this production, including writing and editing, comes from Sharina Wad, Rick Dulock, and David Fleming. And we get technical, website, and social media support from Tim Steidel, Sean Houlihan, and Andrew Caravella. I'm Lillian Vasquez. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.